Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn. And touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order. Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays. Doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/drinkingbros. That is hims.com/drinkingbros for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/drinkingbros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. This guest was actually selected by you, the listeners. We go live typically on YouTube every day. Obviously, we're shadow banned. The 10.3 million listeners we have does not translate into Google, apparently, because they don't want us to have any videos out there, especially on the conservative side of things, or even chatting about it, it seems. But a couple weeks ago, you guys were in the message boards and you said, hey, if you can, get Amanda Milius on the show. She directed this movie called The Plot Against the Presidents. And as soon as I saw your name, Dan and I were live on air and I was like, this has got to be John Milius's daughter. It has to be.
A lot of people, yeah, people, it's such a rare name that people ask me that. Like, they're like, oh, are you related to John Milius? But only on the right. I mean, unless they're like major, major movie fans, most people don't, the name doesn't like stick in your head. It's not like Spielberg or something where it like really sticks in people's head unless they're a fan. But yeah, it's pretty unique.
Yeah, obviously I'm a huge fan, which we'll get to later on. But more importantly, I want to chat about your film because I'm a huge fan of it. And apparently so is the world. Now, obviously you wouldn't know it by the media, but you're currently number one on Amazon. The movie is called The Plot Against the Presidents. And it deals with a topic that Dan has been covering for close to 3 years here on this show, as far as Russiagate goes, and the fake collusion and everything else that went on.
It's a classic. I mean, you hear it over and over, the phrase Intel operation in her film, mm-hmm. over and over again. It's Evan's been talking about it, not necessarily about Trump specifically, about their premise is that Russia's big plan is to emasculate American males.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's his theory. I mean, it's broader, obviously, but yeah, I mean, we've been talking about it for quite a while now.
Yeah. And how the, like, there was nothing to it. The Steele dossier, there was nothing to it. My biggest fear was going into your film was that it was going to be like a Dinesh D'Souza movie. And I know he was in your doc. I know. And I hate saying that.
He's not in my doc.
Oh, he's not in your doc. No, okay, great. He was on the trailer afterwards. You guys are connected on Amazon.
People probably do that where they play both trailers back to back.
Correct.
But it's totally separate. I mean, his movie was, I think, cost $12 million to make or something around there. Or he had like a $3 or $4 million advertising budget. Ours was zero.
Yeah.
So, different playing field.
Yeah. And the thing that I disliked about his films, obviously I'm a Hollywood guy, is they seem hokey and slanted, and it's just, you know, it's a lot of stock footage that you're like, and scary music where you're like, oh, well, this is ominous that's happening. And you don't really believe in
it. You know what it is? It's like, okay, so I've said this a lot, and this is no criticism of the other conservative filmmakers, because frankly, we need them. If you think about how much media and how much material the left is putting out there, like, thank God for every right-leaning filmmaker and everything they do. I don't care if every single movie is about Jesus and abortion, like, fine, go for it, whatever. But the thing is that a lot of these folks, they are issue-based political people first, and then they're like, oh, I'm going to make a movie about this, or I'm going to write a book about this, and then I'll just make a movie, because God knows they think if you've seen a movie, you can make a movie. Whereas I came from this, I went to USC Film School, I have a master's degree in film production, and I've done film or the visual industries, whether it's photography or this, that, or the other, in some way. I started one of my first jobs. I was an editor. I've done this for over 10 years, like well over 10 years since I was a teenager. And I come at this from being a filmmaker. And I'm not saying that as like a, you know, tooting my own horn or whatever, but it's just the difference between coming at something as a political person who wants to make movies or a movie person who happens to have become political.
Right.
So it's a different thing. I mean, like, yeah, for me, I prefer, you know, there's different ways to make documentaries. I prefer no narration. I don't like a narration because I feel like it's
cheating.
Lean hokey.
Yeah.
And I really, I will never do a reenactment ever in my, I swear to God, I will never make a reenactment in a movie.
Well, if somebody's trying to deliver me information and they're trying to change the setting, whether it be the actual physical location, the backdrop, the music, the tone of voice, or anything like that, along with information, then I'm immediately suspicious of that information.
Correct. Right? Yeah.
I mean, it's like watching Making a Murder or whatever the fuck that shit was.
Yeah.
Or any of those like documentaries. They're not documentaries. It's nonsense, right? They take shit out of context all the time, and you never know what the fuck's really going on. Just give me the information. I will decide. I hate, you don't need to editorialize.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. You got to treat your audience with as though they have some level of intelligence, right, and just say, you're either going to follow this or you're not. I mean, we were really risking it because frankly, we had to make the movie so fast that normally you have this whole, you know, even if you're rushed, you have this luxurious process of like, oh, we're going to play it for these people. And they're all going to be, I mean, our idea was to play it for people of different levels of political involvement.
Mm-hmm.
Who like people who followed Russiagate every single day, you know, certain people who have other podcasts or journalists or whatever, that they were completely read in on the situation, and then play it for like my mom who doesn't like watching the news or whatever, play it for people that are totally out of it and make sure it could work for everybody. We didn't have time to do that. So we played it for me and my editor and the rest of our team. And that was it. And then we were like, we're rolling this out. This is going now. And thankfully, it seems like it really did hit that stride where people get it who are totally read in on Russiagate and the hoax and all of this, that, you know, are living in D.C. and have all this information at their fingertips, and folks who aren't keeping up with the daily declassified, you know, dumps as they come.
Yeah, because, you know, what I enjoyed, again, was it seemed to be based in fact. It was very conversational, like, you know, there wasn't... there was only one guy who was in a shadow at one point, who obviously you couldn't reveal.
But... Actually, there's two. There's two, and technically we had a third, and the third guy will appear in the extended cut series thing that we're going to do. Yeah. There's not too many unidentified people, and the ones that we have are pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know who they are in real life, obviously, but I'll ask you off air. Maybe you can tell me.
Yeah.
One looked like, since you're in Vegas, one looked like Carrot Top. So maybe Carrot Top was in on it. We don't know what he had in that trunk and what he was doing for the government. But, you know, obviously we can rap about it later.
What if we found out? You remember that movie, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind? Mm-hmm. Remember that guy that was a game show host and allegedly
for the Gong Show?
Allegedly he was a knock. He was knocking people off for the agency. What if like Gallagher was that guy?
A Gallagher?
What if let's make a movie where Gallagher, that whole time he was performing, was a fucking contract killer for the agency.
I'll go a step further. Yeah. Trebek just passed away. Coincidence? Wow.
I don't think so. Illuminati confirmed.
Let me ask you though, was there a coincidence in your film with the release dates? Did you guys intend on going this quickly before the election? What was the thought process and planning behind that? Because usually you don't really get to pick your release date, and I'm sure you were trying to hope for theaters, but then COVID hit.
Well, technically we are in theaters. We're still in theaters, but the COVID thing really wiped theaters out in general. So I didn't spend a ton of time worrying about that because it was more important to just get it out. I said, I've worked in film a long time and I know how to, I mean, I know as much as I can about how to get something to hit a certain release date. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going to let it not be released. There was no way it wasn't going to come out at least a month before the election. Like, that was the whole point. I wanted it to come out that time. And so the reason I didn't do an exclusive deal with Amazon or a Netflix or anybody like that is because if that's how they kill things, you know, that's what happened to Hoaxed, is that I think they had a semi-exclusive deal initially with Amazon, and then Amazon kind of did the catch and kill thing where it put it up for a day and then pulled it down. And then you legally can't go put it up anywhere else.
Right.
So I didn't sign any deal like that. Everything we did, people looked at me and they were like, this is totally insane. Like, this isn't how you do things. And I was like, I actually think it is. I think this will work because I think our audience will come to us. So I could have sold it. I basically told the distributor, I was like, I'll sell this at a lemonade stand if I have to, but it's coming out before the election. Like, I don't care if, you know, some massive company offers me some amazing deal to sit on it and put it out later. Mm. It's not happening. So, you know, we're still, like, for example, the DVDs are still being manufactured. We're going to have those ready for the holidays, but it's like, we're still rolling it out on platforms. Like,
that's how fast you were gunning it out.
Yeah.
We were coloring it less than 24 hours. We were coloring the movie, and then it was up on the internet less than 24 hours later.
Wow.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Even the render process on that.
Yeah. No, it was, rendering into the upload. It was like, whoop, like we're going. I was like, I can't believe there's not any mistakes in it. I final watched it on the first platform. It was live on.
No shit.
Even if you're using like a Mac garbage can, one of those, you're probably still talking 4 hours to export a movie that size.
Minimum
with probably eight. Yeah. I would say.
Well, yeah. No, with a garbage can, you could probably get it down to four. But that's a $15,000 rig.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our editor has a hardwired internet connection, which we had to use to get it to the distributor and then put it up. And the first platform was supposed to be special.io, which is, so there's two new platforms we opened it with. Like we released on specialproject.io and My Movies Plus. Both are new platforms that launched with our movie. They're free speech friendly. And they're like they're kind of like a cross between Patreon and YouTube, where it's like, it's for longer content and you know, you have subscribers, you pay for it, but they won't take anything. They're not going to take it down. Like they're not going to be pushed around.
Yeah, so I guess Rumble's the other one like that now, right?
Yeah. Rumble is coming up, but I have not heard of the two that you were talking about.
I'm not. Specialproject.io.
And then the other one's My Movies Plus, and they're both Patriot owned. They're, they're just cool guys. And but then we got it finally on Vimeo 2 days later, where it did insanely well, which is crazy because couldn't even get the app to work on their TV. And then finally, 12 days later, they finally, Amazon released it. I mean, Amazon had it the same day as all those other channels. And they put it under extended content review. And only after the Hollywood Reporter wrote an article about them screwing over conservative movies, did they put it out.
Yeah, I had a problem with my last book on Amazon. Same thing. They pulled it for 3 weeks. Same thing, a content review. And they were proofing it, and you know, somebody finally read it. I was just like, just read the fucking book. They were literally judging it by its cover, and then it got put up later. Like, I think it was like 3.5 weeks later, and then our listeners had called in and bitched and everything else. What was the process for you? Because when I went through it with Amazon, you can't ever talk to the person you want to talk to at Amazon. And I don't know who the top guy is, nor does anybody else. My agents, managers, no one knows who that guy is. What was it like for your film? Who did you reach out to?
No, there's no one. You reach out to the same thing where you're like, when is this going to come out? And they give you a canned response that's like, oh, and you never hear from them for days and days and days. And you're sitting there on the edge of your seat because you're like, well, am I going to put this out on another platform or are they going to put it out? It's ridiculous. I've got somebody that's friends with folks that are pretty high up there that I'm going to look into to see like who the hell put this under an extended content review and like what is that process? Because they want to claim that they're not partisan and all that, which is just obviously not true.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
No, it was ridiculous. I would try to explain it to like, you know, the investors or to the fans or whoever that was like, when is it? Give me a date. Like, or the folks we were doing promotional stuff with. Like, what is the date that it's going to be available on Amazon? And I have to say, I don't know. It's whenever they feel like putting it up. Shit.
Yeah. I bet you're flipping through your smart TV the same as everybody else to see if it's up, because you don't get an email or anything from them. It's just, up and that's it.
The back end. Yeah. We have our account with them on the back end so we can see the process like, oh, it's like, it's, you know, in review or whatever. But then the funny thing is that, so I didn't make a deal with them. Like they didn't know this movie was even coming. Like, it's not like I had like some office meeting with them, like you would if you had an exclusive deal. We just put it up on the back end via our distributor. And so now it's their number one documentary. It's the number one political documentary of all time at this point. Yep. Like it's just blown past Fahrenheit 50, 450, everything, Fahrenheit 9/11, like all of it. Like it's way bigger than all of those. And now it's sitting there still. It's been at number one on their documentaries for like 2 weeks, and it's, they must be kind of like, what the hell? Like they didn't even know this it was coming to them.
Yeah,
like,
New York Times pulled that shit with us. You expect to see some manual manipulation of that soon. When Matt Best book and Ross was the author of that came out, we noticed that in the top 20, the New York Times, and it wasn't based on sales, because you could look the sales numbers up independently.
Mm-hmm.
Matt never made it. He was at, I think, two for a while, but he never made it to number one.
So, well, it opened up at number five, like a book about our co-host. Yeah. So it opened up at number five on the New York Times bestseller list. They put Michelle Obama's book ahead of it and everything else. But it was number one in USA Today, Wall Street Journal, and everything else.
In sales, it was number one. And then number...
We had to wait for the Publishers Weekly report to come out on Friday to see what the actual hard copies were. And we had outsold Michelle Obama by 23,000 copies.
Yeah.
And, but here's the thing.
And if you looked on Amazon's list, by the way, under political books, it was, I think, eight conservatives and two liberal books, essentially, if you want to frame it that way. And then on the New York Times list, the only other anything approaching conservative was Mark Levin's new book. That was it.
Yeah.
Out of the top 15, it was just Matt's book, your book, and those two total.
Yeah.
Well, there's no way.
So they're always telling me like, oh yeah, Hollywood doesn't discriminate against conservatives because they just care about what makes money. Like they'll just put things out if it makes money. And you're like, okay, so let's look at this. The moment you put out anything that isn't the exact mainstream media narrative that is, you know, somewhat, my movie's not even that partisan. It's not even hyperbolic. It's like, it just tells the story as it is and it shoots to number one. That means a huge audience. Like when we released the trailer, the trailer crashed the Hollywood Reporter's site because that's where we released the trailer. It was on the Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah.
They play trailers for a living.
Yep.
It's not like it was the first time they put a trailer up on their site. That's what they do. And it crashed their site because that's how many people wanted to see it. That tells you they're ignoring the entire country. That's how many people are being ignored by this industry.
And how much it goes to show you how much money it can make. So if you did make conservative movies, you'd make a shit ton of money. And that's what Hollywood typically is all about. It seemed to have changed with the 2016 election and all bets were off and it all went out the window. With your film in particular and like my last book, when you try to tell people this, a lot of the people look at you like you're insane. They're like, this can't be our country. This can't be what's really going on where you're censored. It is.
Yeah, I think it's woken. I think the last 2 weeks have woken up a lot of people because if they weren't already made aware of how close to communist China we are by the last year or so, they are aware now. I mean, when you see stuff like the warnings that they have on the president's tweets or anybody's tweet that's literally saying the truth, that's the craziest thing. Is, I mean, I said, I'm on the ground in Nevada and I know that it like what is being tweeted out from like the account that, associated with the campaign I'm with over here, which is Nevada GOP. They put the warning on their stuff and I'm like, this is factually proven correct information and Twitter is telling the audience that this is disputed. I mean, we are living in, I just didn't realize it was going to be 1984 this fast, not to be cliche, but it's so Orwellian.
It is,
and you're walking around and there's everybody's in masks at the casino. And it's just like, it's so creepy. Like what we're living in right now, these last 2 weeks, I'm just like taking it all in. Like, it's like, we're really in this time period, aren't we? Like it's so creepy.
Yeah, it is very bizarre. I think it was a miscalculation on behalf of whomever's trying to do all this stuff. Maybe it's a test balloon. We'll see. But I think if you're trying to divide and conquer, giving people a single standard to rally around is not a good idea. And keeping them shut inside their houses and taking their ability to earn their own money away is not a good idea. I think they went a little bit too far. It seems like there might be some kind of coordinated effort to see what the tolerance of the American people is.
That's what it looks like. You know what else somebody said out here I was talking to? This was a good one. They said it's a visual gauge. The last year has been a visual gauge for them to see how easy it is to fool people with the media or to get them to behave in a certain way, you know?
Yeah,
I think that's probably true.
It's crazy. Yeah. And to that point, like one of the things on IMDb, which is the only movie site we have right in our industry, that's it. There is no other thing that tells you.
And it's how about the fact that it's the worst site? Not even talking about how messed up it is, where it lets people review bomb it and it's bad. It is literally like going back and programming a computer in 1989. And they're like proud of this. Like IMDb is like, you can be a member of IMDb Pro and we'll give you a star meter. And you're like, you guys are a joke. Like it's the worst site of all time.
You know who owns it, right?
Amazon.
Yeah. Amazon owns it. But one of the fun facts.
Well, they also own the Washington Post.
Yeah, also the Washington Post. Yeah.
They just tried to buy CNN last week too. Not, I mean, Bezos tried to buy CNN last week.
Yes. Yeah, Bezos tried to buy CNN. But
what do you think he's after there? Because CNN's doing so well, he wants to fucking add that to his portfolio? No. He wants to control news.
He wants to push his own agenda.
Fucking break.
If you control news, you control reality. I mean, it's clearly. It's literally like Dr. Evil. I mean, that's what I don't understand. They're like, I will control the entire world's reality. It's like, you guys are, they're so blatantly evil. It's insane.
It's crazy. And, you know, speaking of which, like one of our listeners on IMDb had circled, you know, they have these like fun facts about the movie.
I haven't even looked at that. Oh God, what is it?
Yeah, say? A listener sent it in. It said, it said, none of the facts in this movie could be proven. So you're welcome
in
on that.
The transcripts. No, but that's the funniest thing. That's the funniest thing. So I see that now after this, so the president tweeted the movie out about a week ago or less.
Yes.
And so ever since then, and he said highly rated, which is great. Cause we had 5-star rating with more reviews than like any other documentary. Which is crazy. I think now it's up to 12,000 reviews or something, or no, it's like insane.
Yeah.
And so he did that. And then, of course, the left catches on to it and they're all like review bombing it. And you can totally tell the reviews by people who haven't seen it because they're like, this is just propaganda. None of this is real. These aren't facts. And you're like, actually, it's not hyperbolic. The movie is only facts. I had a very, very good lawyer make sure that every single thing I said was absolutely fact and provable by my sources or others that are really, really strong, because I'm not going to get sued, right? Like I had to get insured to put this out. Like, it's not a joke. It's real. If it was horseshit, I wouldn't have been able to put it out. Like it's, you know, I don't know these people that put out stuff like just on YouTube or whatever. It's free. You don't have the same standard of legal responsibility. Like I'm solid. Like it is a solid, there's not one thing that's said in there that can't be backed up.
Yeah, and one of the guys in the movie, Matt Gaetz, was on our show about, 3 or 4 weeks ago. Yep. And when I saw him in there, I was like, oh, all right, great. Like, you know, him and Devin and those guys, like, those are pretty legit guys. They're not really...
Devin Nunes, this is the point we try to make. I mean, he was the chairman of the Intel Committee, like, for years. Like, what more do you want? Like, the guy is 100... He's the most read-in person in Congress. On the activities of the intelligence community. Like there's no one else.
And he has nothing really to gain financially or anything else by proving this. As a matter of fact, you know, most politicians just rest on whatever salary it is, you know, have their assistants do the work, read the bills, give them some quick notes, and then they go on about their day. He actually took the time for years to try to figure this out and didn't get paid for it at all. So
no, and he ruined his life. I mean, that's the thing that, and this is the same theme of what's happening here in Nevada. You know, I'm talking to some of the campaign surrogates that are out doing press for us right now and all this stuff. And you're like, people are like, oh, well, they're just lying to suck up to the Trump administration. And you're like, to what end? Like, this is not, this like people are being fired from their law firms for even having anything to do with this. Like every single person that is involved in telling the truth right now about this election or telling the truth about Russiagate, the stuff that Devin Nunes did, it is to their detriment to tell the truth. So you know they're courageous. They're not, they're opposite of career opportunities. That was the funniest thing where I'm like, yeah, because I people in my comments sometimes they're like, oh, well, you only made this movie because you worked in the Trump administration and you worked in the Trump administration. So of course you could make a movie about the president. And you're like, yeah, because it's a real fast track to a career in movie making to leave Hollywood and work for the Trump administration.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You'd have a better shot as Epstein rather than making a conservative movie to be on a fast track in Hollywood. I'm curious where you go after this, because I know how bad it is out there. You know, I was in it for 18 years and made, you know, 30 movies or whatever it was. Like even then, before Trump got elected, you really couldn't say who you liked. I used to tell people this all the time. They never believed me. There was an underground group that used to meet called FOA.
FOA? Yeah.
Yes. Friends of Apes. I mean, it's not that underground. I think Nick Searcy is still the president of it right now, I think.
Well, no, but the people that were in it would shock you, where I was just like, oh, shit. Like, it used to be like Ron Howard and like the creator of Desperate Housewives.
Gary Sinise, Sorbo. I mean, there's a Kevin Sorbo, Chuck. There's a bunch of dudes in there. Yeah.
Yeah, there's more than that, too, there's a lot of folks that I happen to know are conservative or at least more okay with hanging out with conservatives than you would think these days, just because my dad is kind of like, he's kind of like this crossover because he's such a character, such like a established kind of, you know, he's just so, I don't know, he's different. They don't really see him just as like a conservative guy. So I know a lot of people in Hollywood, you'd be really surprised, are down to go to the gun range and smoke the cigars and hang out and talk.
Yeah, absolutely. But you still had to meet, you know, once every 2 months or whatever it was. I get invited a few times, you know, at some weird bar. Location. Yeah. And you were like, all right, sweet. We're just talking about like being Republican, right? Like, no, that's all like we're doing here. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it makes you that. I mean, that's a sign of like massive decline in the country where you're like, to be one of the two, like, what do these people want? Do they want a one party country? It's like you're not allowed to have a two party country. Like, you're not even there for some wacky party that's really fringe, that's like some up and coming extremist thing. It's like, you're just a Republican and you can't meet in public. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, there was nothing else that went on there, because you walk in when, you know, when your first time, you're kind of looking around, you're like, sweet, is this like, is this, am I here for the gangbang or? And then you're like, oh no, we're just going to talk about Republican shit. All right, cool. Cause I'm wondering like how many dicks are going to be at my face in like 18 minutes. But that's what it felt like. And you're like,
where's like this, the ritualistic, like spooky shit happening. You're like, yeah, like you have to have a password and you have to be vetted first. Like you go to that first meeting and then they you like, you know, talk about your politics just to make sure you're not like a
it's like telling somebody to snort this line of cocaine before I bust out the real drugs.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you gotta show me you're cool first before I bring out my DMT vape pen, my man.
Yeah. You gotta prove your loyalty. It's Bloods or Crips. You pick. You gotta choose. Yeah. Are we allowed to talk about what you're doing in Las Vegas for the Trump campaign right now?
There's no rules anymore.
Fuck it. There aren't.
But what's going to happen? What am I going to do? Are they going to fire me? Like, I don't know. Like,
what are you doing in Vegas for the Trump campaign currently?
I'm helping with communications because I basically the long and short of it is actually kind of a crazy story. I worked in Nevada and Clark County in 2016. I volunteered here. That's how I ran away from L.A. and joined the circus of politics. Is because I was volunteering in the closest swing state. And then I was just so into it. And I met like amazing people and I just loved it. And we won. Somebody I was working with was like, you should go work in the administration. I was like, no, that's crazy. Why would I ever work in government? I hate the government. And they're like, no, that's the point. Like, we all do. That's why you got to go. I was like, oh, okay. That makes sense. They were like, we need people that are unique and different and love the president's agenda and want to fight for the president's agenda. And I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do. Send me in, coach, like send me to wherever you want to go. So I first worked at the inaugural committee, which is like a good kind of get into the DC thing.
Get your feet wet in there. Yeah.
You meet people and you kind of like, you know, figure stuff out. And then I got hired at State Department as a presidential political appointee. And so I was there for 3 years. I worked at the White House for 6 months, went back to State Department, left there, did the movie, toured the movie, like did press, stuff like that. And then I went to a party on election night, just like, you know, whatever it was, 2 weeks ago. Feels like it's been 10 years or 2 days.
It really has.
I'm in like a time warp because I went to this election night party at Ollie Alexander's in Dallas. He rented a movie theater. And so obviously election happens. It looks crazy. The phones are blowing up. Everyone's like, what the hell's going on? I did an episode of InfoWars the next day.
Oh, dude. So Alex Jones was on our live election show the night before.
Yeah, I saw that. That's amazing. So like I've been talking to him. Like I've met him a bunch. He's actually a really big fan of my dad's too. And so he like gets the whole like Hollywood.
He's a big movie buff.
He's a huge fan of your dad. Yeah.
They're kind of the same guy.
Yeah.
Like you'd be like, oh wow. Like, so I'm very like comfortable around him because it's like hanging out with my dad. It's very, I'm totally a one with the chaos. So I went and did the InfoWars episode in Austin, and then everything was just going nuts. They were having rallies at all of the election counting places in Phoenix and Nevada. And I jump on a plane, go to Phoenix. He goes to Phoenix. We all run to Phoenix and do this big rally. And then I get on the phone. So this was 48 hours after the election. And my whole team from 2016, we're all call each other. It's like the bat signal went up. We're all like, dude, we need to get back to Clark County. Like, what is going on in Nevada? Like, we got to go help our folks because two of our original team members are running the show here. A guy named Jesse Law and an attorney that we worked with. And so we all just jumped on a plane and everybody showed up. So I'm still living out of the same suitcase that I had to go to a one night party. So I have a dress and a jacket. I've had to buy t-shirts. Like I've had, like, I don't have anything. I'm just still here in Nevada. Like I'm still like doing it. But yeah, I mean, I'm helping them with comms, communication stuff, media, press, whatever, and just assisting the legal team.
Before we get too deep today, Amanda, we got some sponsors who pay for this shit wagon to be on the air. I apologize. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinking bros. We are mere hours away, D'Anthony, from a worldwide site. Everyone gets 30% off across the board on every single item. For Black Friday, D'Anthony. How do you feel about that?
I don't feel things, but, you know, I enjoy being able to work with this company.
Same.
They're very friendly to us.
Look, they've been one of our best sponsors for many years.
Anybody that kind of gives back to America, they've always been super supportive, and that support has evolved over time. So it's very interesting. I like these guys.
Yeah.
And the products are obviously great as well. You can't put a 20-year guarantee on something and, you know, not you would go bankrupt.
Yeah, it's obviously. Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. And look, they've always given away 30% to anybody from the military, a first responder. Teachers are new this year.
Yeah.
Government jobs are new this year. And now the rest of us dummies get it. And that starts here in about 4 hours, the Black Friday sale. So go. They got everything on there. They also got a ton of other crazy deals on there. You buy a mattress, you get free pillows. Go there and check out their sites. Their sheets are the best. It is Christmas time. It is time to do some Christmas shopping. I can promise you this. You're going to need some new sheets and pillows and all that other fun stuff. And if you're in one of these cities that you're locked down in, man, and you're stuck, you might as well sleep in comforts. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Where, as always, they have a 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest there. And all the deals that we mentioned at the top, including the Black Friday special, is applicable with the 36-month pay-as-you-go program at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Next up, we got manscaped.com. This is another one, Dan, for the stocking stuffers, man, for Christmas. Look, I know they're on the desk. They're always on the desk every single day. The Weed Whacker is new, which is incredible. I actually used it last week, dude. mowed through my nose hairs real quick, dude.
Yeah, it's a good tool. Everything they have is good. I mean, if you buy the starter kit, it comes in a box and it's got all this stuff in it. I mean, it's really nice, honestly.
It's great.
It is great for a gift as well. If you're looking to buy the man in your life a gift, this is probably a good one to look to you.
Yeah, or if you're a dude out there whose wife is just like, hey, man, I don't know what to get you for Christmas. Can you just buy it and I'll put it in the stocking? Mm-hmm. This is one of those things. Go to manscaped.com today. Use the promo code DRINKINGBROS for 20% off and free shipping there. Great for trimming the pubes.
Yeah.
Now they got the nose trimmer.
Get that performance package. Mm-hmm. They call it. It's the lawnmower, the pube shaver.
Yep.
The nose hair trimmer. It's got some ball toner in there, I believe, some foot stuff, and it's also got a really nice pair of boxer briefs and a t-shirt. It's like a whole little kit, plus a dop kit.
Yeah.
Like, it all comes in one thing. It's a really good gift. It makes you look thoughtful. Like, when somebody opens the package and there's like eight things, and they're like, oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
But all I did was buy the one thing.
And that's what you do at manscaped.com. Again, promo code DRINKINGBROS, 20% off and free shipping there. These are products that every dude needs, and they look fine sitting out. It's nothing you have to hide or be ashamed of. I don't want to be ashamed of my purchase. I don't want to be ashamed, Dan. And last but not least, we've got ShipStation.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's ShipStation.com.
Yep.
Not what you were thinking. ShipStation.com is giving you free for 60 days when you use the promo code Drinking Bros. Now, what is it? What do you do at ShipStation.com, D'Anthony?
Well, I mean, if you're an online seller of any kind, if you've got a little hobby shop, you have a t-shirt company, whatever
Etsy,
it is.
Etsy, eBay.
Shopify, Amazon, eBay, any site you can think of. They take care of the shipping part for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, you know, what they do is essentially bundle services together and then negotiate better rates for large amounts of people. It's the best shipping rates you're going to get.
Across the board, and it doesn't matter where you're selling at. Again, if it's Shopify, Amazon, eBay, or your own website, ShipStation.
Yeah, they use all the major carriers too. The Postal Service, FedEx, UPS, DHL, et cetera, et cetera.
Everything, man. They've been number one for how many years now?
I don't know, man. Honestly, as long as I've been in the game.
Yeah, so look, it's pretty incredible. They're offering you a free 60-day trial on there for all of your products. So
I'll get you through the end of the year and more.
Yeah, dude. Look, holiday orders are backing up for all your companies. This is the best in the biz, and they never really give away anything like this. So go to ShipStation.com today. Promo code Drinking Bros. We'll make that happen for free for 60 days on there at ShipStation.com.
Click that microphone at the top of the page.
Yep.
Type in Drinking Bros.
And that's it. You're good to go, man. Ship away, kids.
Well, I think make ship happen is their
slogan. Yeah, yeah. I wish that was ours.
Not ship away.
I know. Ship away is nice, but make ship happen.
Yeah.
It's easily one of the best out there. Yeah. I'm mad at myself. I didn't come up with it. Thank you for allowing us to chat about these, Amanda. Are you a part of the recount that is going on in Nevada?
It's not a recount. So Nevada, there's a couple states. So Georgia just had a recount, but it's really stupid because essentially they just recounted the fraud. Mm-hmm. That's the problem with this election, is that the safeguards for elections that we ought to have are not even useful in this case, because there's so much fraud and illegitimate ballots baked into the number that recounting them is like just recounting counterfeit dollars. You're just like, okay, it doesn't mean I have more money or not. So what we are out here, the suit is to throw the elections, basically announce, award the election to Donald Trump, because we are able to show, and I mean, this is what it says in the case. Again, I'm not a lawyer, but able to show that when you look at all the fraud and look at all of the discrepancies, that it's such a massive amount that it would overcome the delta between, Biden and Trump. I mean, we found so much stuff. It's insane. The fact that the media, I mean, I can't believe we're at this point already, where I watched Fox News cut away from our press conference, but all they say all day long is, they have no proof. There's no evidence. There's no evidence. Okay, fine. So we have a stack of evidence of signed, sworn affidavits, real human beings, whistleblowers, people that are willing to talk. Bring them to a press conference, bring the stack of affidavits to a press conference. The folks that are representing the campaign out here, Matt Schlapp, Rick Grenell, et cetera, they come out, they're about ready to do the press conference, walk the media through the evidence, and Fox does this. And now back to our studio to talk about the COVID numbers. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, they literally won't tell people that this is a real thing.
It's very interesting how Fox and Drudge have both pivoted away from Trump over the last couple of months.
Tucker Carlson last night.
I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah. Did you watch that last night? Because he was trending last night and everybody was like, huh? Tucker's even switched.
Wait, what happened with Carlson last night?
He went off on Sidney Powell, which is not cool.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Look, I think a lot of people, myself included, are having this issue. I'm hearing a lot about all this. I'm hearing a lot of the Kraken. No, not about her specifically, but I'm hearing a lot about all this stuff that's going on, and I haven't seen any evidence of anything that's demonstrable.
Well, like, let me tell you why.
Not to say that an affidavit signed by a first hand witness is not evidence. Yes, that is evidence.
You want the big stuff.
You need corroboration, yeah. Right? Like you're not gonna get a conviction based on just firsthand testimony unless it's a shit ton of people all from the same area.
Here's the thing. So you're dealing with an issue that, and I agree, because believe me, everybody out here is also wanting to hear, you know, the national everybody's on the edge of their seats. But here's the deal. So the day or two after the election, 48 hours later, the media is saying, oh my God, they have no evidence. They're claiming fraud, fraud, fraud. Let me tell you what it looks like on the inside. You're sitting here with a team of 20 people, the fraud, the hotline, and this is where I worked in 2016. Again, I saw this before. It's again why I came back to Clark County. The fraud is out of control. The phone is ringing off the hook with our poll watchers who are like, holy cow, I was just prevented from even going in. They just took a box of ballots into a dark room and came out with a different box and put it in the machine. This happened, that happened. Oh my God, like, I found a box of ballots in a storage unit. Like, I don't know what they're doing here, but they're already marked. I found this. I felt like there's like crazy stuff. And then you start looking at the data. So all of this is basically, you can't as a campaign digest this and legally present, okay, it's 24 hours after we were ambushed in a field. Here is exactly how we were ambushed. First, this man shot us from the left. Then we had a sniper on this tree. Then we had some mines in the ground. That's what it's like. So you're in the fog of war where you just got ambushed, right?
Coordinated attack.
And everybody's like falling apart and like somebody's wounded and this is happening. And the media is like, we don't believe you were ambushed because you can't describe to us exactly where the mines were and what kind of mine it was and what the serial number on the mine was. And you're like, I'm sorry, my ears are still ringing from the explosion. Like, hold on, let me try and find that for you. So it's like, because we're the victims in a sense, like, not to say that in like a victim-y way, but you really are. We held a normal election and we were up against like a Chinese election or a third world, like, oh, this person got 110% of the vote election. Like, we were still playing like it was America. Like, nobody told us that we were going to do Venezuela this year. So that lag time in being able to put together everything that happened, like, we're still discovering it. And you're chasing rabbit holes where it's like, okay, this is a real lead. This isn't. You've got, everything has to be reviewed through three or four people, you know, one sane person, one attorney, and then one sane attorney. And it's like, it's got to go through that step before you can present this stuff to the public. So, Right. And then some of the stuff we can't publish because you've got, I mean, you have to understand Antifa and, the left in general have put the fear in people so bad. And then you combine that with, the internet doxing world, and then combine that with a union town. Okay. Like, a union town means that if you are found to be reporting fraud to us that the union doesn't want reported, these people will never work again. Their families will never work again. And they'll probably get beat up or killed because it's Vegas.
Yeah, it's funny. So, Las Vegas, by the way, for people that don't understand unions and shit, Nevada is a right to work state, right? Mm-hmm. Which means that unions only exist insofar as every member of that union is on board with what they're doing.
Right.
But it is the most tightly run group of people I've ever seen in my life. Like the Bally's thing they had in the 90s, that 13-year lawsuit or whatever, mm-hmm. every single person that worked at that hotel stayed in that lawsuit the entire time. Nobody broke ranks.
Well, they're all extremely well paid in Vegas. And that's like, that's something that nobody thinks about, where it's like, you know, the people that work in the hotels, the casinos, in the restaurants and all that stuff, they're very well paid. Yeah. So they're not going anywhere.
No, it's a closed shop union in a right to work state. And that's like being on fire in Antarctica, basically.
Right.
Yeah. It's almost impossible to accomplish something like that. So Vegas was built by the goddamn mob, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's be real about that. And then in the 40s, 50s, and 60s,
oh yeah,
Vegas, or the mob built that shit. So of course it has that lingering influence.
But
at the end of the day, like you said, I'm hearing all the problems. What I'm not hearing are solutions from anybody. So what is the solution to?
We're doing it.
Well, no, I've got it. I just want to, let me frame the question. So there's a couple of different things going on. One is how to figure out what happened here, and I guess we can't really diagnose and then treat until we know exactly what happened. But we do know a couple of things. One is that certain types of voting are less secure than others. Mm-hmm. But then the general concept of voting, when you add human beings to it, and there's no way to not have human beings, even if it's software, because you can put a backdoor in software that can be activated remotely if you want to. There's all kinds of ways to do that. And human interference is always going to be a problem. So I guess the question is, how the fuck am I supposed to go out and vote in 2022 or 4 or 8 or 6 or 8 or whatever and expect any of that shit to be legitimate?
Well, I would actually turn it around and say I might have a bizarrely optimistic view of humans, mm-hmm. but I'd be happy if this election had been run by humans with human error and human problems, because we've been doing elections that way since the beginning of our country. I don't have a problem with humans doing elections. What we had is machines doing elections. Like, and in Nevada, you had two. You have the Dominion crap, which everybody's talking about, which sounds crazy, but it's actually real. Like,
no, it's definitely not crazy. My buddy Joe, that runs a very large digital marketing company in Colorado, is the one that uncovered all this stuff. He's actually one of my business partners, and the guy that was the chief security officer for Dominion You can see him in plain as day talking shit and about the Trump campaign way before the election happened. You can also hear him on a phone call that will be published sometime soon saying that there's no way Trump's going to win. I made sure of that.
Can you get him to put that, speaking of us putting out evidence, can you get him to put that out sooner than later?
I mean, I can give you his phone number. You can talk to him.
Let's do it. Yes. Like, can we get him out here?
When we get off air, we'll absolutely give you his number for sure. Yeah, because what Dan, I think, is saying, and this is what I think is 50-50 in America right now, is with the where is the proof thing, right?
Well, the other, what I was going to say.
You want to see it. You want to see it in your face.
Another one.
Yeah.
So in addition to the Dominion stuff, okay, which we'll see how that unfolds, but I'm pretty confident the stuff that I've seen is unbelievable, and I can't say it because it's in our suit. But the other thing is, in Nevada, for example, you've got a digital signature recognition machine called Agilis. Like, I don't know why all these machines and all this crap has to be named so dystopianly. Like, yeah, I feel in Blade Runner, where they're like, the Agilis machine will decide if you are yourself. But so the Clark County turned the sensitivity of the Agilis machine down to 40%, which is well under the manufacturer's guidelines saying this is how high you have to have it to be accurate. It also says that the signatures that it compares to have to be recorded at 200 DPI. Nevada DMV doesn't record signatures at 200 DPI. They record them at like 40 or something. So the whole state, even if you go by the level that this machine was supposed to be run at, they just turned the levels down until it worked. I mean, it's literally, I mean, right there, throw out the state. Like, it's crazy. The fact that you can have a machine, first of all, it's against the law to not have human eyes checking every single signature. And they had, because of this mail-in ballot scheme, hundreds of thousands of signatures being checked by a machine that had been calibrated to accept everything. So, I mean, right there, like, what? And granted, like, again, this is why I came down here to kind of help with communications and stuff, because I didn't know that. I was sitting out in Washington, D.C. or doing whatever I was doing, promoting the movie. And I follow politics pretty closely. I didn't know that. That's been an issue. They filed several cases about that before the election. And lo and behold, it screwed up the whole election.
Let me ask.
Yeah.
I'm curious about some of this tech. I've got a background in tech as well. Are human eyeballs better than a 40% look from a computer?
I don't know, but that's the law. I see what you're saying. I mean, to be honest with you, you know, I don't know. I'm not a tech person, and these are the kinds of questions that should have been dealt with before the election.
Yeah,
and Clark County made the decision to shove this regulation through 90 days before the election. So tell me what type of industry, any kind of like sports world or anything, would the head of your organization completely change your rules, laws, and game plan 90 days before your Super Bowl?
Right. I mean, like, if you think about Major League Baseball, competition committee meets in December at the December winter meetings, right? It's the second week of December every year. And that's about a month and a half, depending on when the season ends after the season ends. And it's about 3 months before the season starts. So it's pretty early in the process.
Yeah. We take sports more seriously than we take our democracy and all of this, as they like to call it, that, you know, are protecting our democracy, which frankly it is. But then the other thing is, there are way more regulations on gambling machines in Nevada. Like, they have an entire industry of calibrating gambling machines and reviewing them, way, way more. They would, if they set this machine in a casino, nobody would accept it because it was just not regulated enough.
Right. And it's the same. I mean, I've heard that, this specific argument about mail-in voting. Like, if you really trust mail-in voting, take your life savings out of the bank in cash, put it in an envelope, and mail it to yourself right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's what's the difference? Like, is your vote worth everything? Because everything you are as a human being in America is dependent upon individual liberty and your voice being able to be expressed at the highest possible level.
Right.
And absolutely. If that's not the case, then what is it exactly that we're doing here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like the founders of this country were probably doing pretty well. They were pretty comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked around and were like, you know what? This is kind of fucked up. We should probably do something about this.
Yeah. Maybe.
It takes people willing to risk their careers and have, I mean, this is the, I actually feel really lucky to be here. I mean, I was with, you know, the team last night. We went out to the empty casino and we were, you know, celebrating minor victories. And I was like, you know, people, you go through different kinds of emotions. Obviously, like, we're out here, the last ones on the battlefield, fighting internally and externally to get this thing across the finish line and to really expose the truth. And I'm like, how lucky are we though? I'm like one of 20 people on the ground in one of a very small handful of states that could change history. And it's a cool opportunity. I mean, you know, how often do you get to be that fraction of a small group of people to really change things?
No, sure, yeah. It's pretty amazing. You know, we're looking at 60 days here essentially until the possible inauguration of Joe Biden. Gun to head. John Milius's gun to your head.
How many times does that happen? No, with my brothers, you know, playing cowboys and Indians. In
oh
house,
my God. I bet it's a million.
Can you imagine, kids in like Berkeley, California getting caught? I want to do a sketch where kids in Berkeley, California get caught playing cowboys and Indians just to see how that would go.
Not in this lifetime. But gun to head here. We're 60 days out. Do you think this gets overturned in your heart of hearts?
Yeah. I wouldn't be here if I didn't. Of course I do.
So 100, you can say that with 100% conviction.
Yeah. And I 100%. 100%. I always thought, I said this on InfoWars when I was on there, which is about the only place you can say such a thing and not be whack. But what I said was, I actually think what this is kind of a double-edged sword where the left basically, you know, the bad guys, if you will, same bad guys as in my movie, et cetera. But if they win both ways, because basically they could either steal the election and get away with it, or they do this whole media routine where the media has crowned the president, which is just not how it works, and sweep through with this massive fraud and potentially with this absolutely rigged machine system, potentially do all of that, and even if we discover it, prove it, and overturn it, what you're going to have is a revolution, because the left has already done their parties out in Park Slope, Brooklyn, and their drum circles and like their horse pit out in the and the thing. And so they're all thinking that this is all over and done. And when it gets flipped, they're going to be like, wait, you guys stole it.
Yeah, exactly.
In 2016 with Russiagate. This is the reason I made that movie. You guys stole it. You're the cheaters. You guys are bad. I mean, and they're going to feel, if you know how upset they were in 2016, I mean, it's the whole freaking thing's going to blow up.
Yeah.
I mean, I am just glad I live in, you know, Virginia and not DC proper.
Oh shit. Well, Virginia went blue too though. So,
yeah.
You know, so we've been dancing around it all show here. Let's give us your elevator pitch on the movie itself.
I would say it's the best. It's a great wrap up of a 30,000 foot view of the actual facts of the Russiagate hoax. Mm-hmm. And when I say Russiagate hoax, it's the proof that the entire country was put under a purposeful trance by the media to try to convince us of something completely untrue that was provably false, namely that the Trump campaign had anything to do with the Russian Federation. There was absolutely no evidence of this. And the people that were on TV every single night saying so were in classified briefings and classified hearings, acknowledging that they had no evidence of this. And right, it's not just people that were on TV talking about how they had no evidence. The main point that Cash makes in the movie, Cash Patel, mm-hmm. who is the new American hero he's just amazing.
Very smart guy. Yeah.
He's the fan favorite, you know, he's the guy.
He
that,
is my
like,
favorite. Yes.
He's
yes.
Fan, well, because he's like a normal guy. I mean, you want to hang out with him. You want to have a beer with him. And I can tell you, he's a very cool, normal guy. And that's why he's the perfect person to see the movie through. But he's also a killer. You know, he's not afraid. Like he just powered through this. And they discovered the truth of this very simply. They had all these people come in and under oath. It's the heads of the agencies. So it's not just the fact that these people were going out on TV every day saying, you know, there's Russian collusion, la, la, la. These are the people who would know if there was, because they're the head of the intel community, the head of the FBI, the head of all the various agencies that would have known if there was, and the people that were saying that there was, under oath, they said no, all 65 of them. And right. this is the fact that not every conservative TV show doesn't open with that fact, and they don't beat it into America's head as much as they beat Russia Gate into our heads, where it should be like, hi, welcome to Fox News. 65 people under oath said there was no Russian collusion. And now time for your headlines. Like every single day it needs to be said, because yeah. nobody knows this. I mean, they had like a week on it and nobody's even paying attention. The transcripts are out there. That's why I love the commenters on the movie, the people that write the bad comments. They're like, this is just lies. Like, have you seen the Senate report? This is lies. And you're like, the transcripts are out there. Like, the transcripts are there. They all said no. I didn't make this up. That's the great thing, is they're like, oh, she's a propaganda artist for Trump. And you're like, actually, I love that title. Like, I think, like, the ones, my favorite are the people in there that call me Leni Riefenstahl, not knowing that she's like my favorite like female director, because she's amazing. And, but not because I support the movement, obviously. But, you know, I just think it's an amazing, they think that that's like a real dig. And I'm like, oh, I mean, you know, she was pretty successful. But anyways, the thing that I'm amazed at is they're like, oh, yeah, it's just propaganda. Like, they're, it's amazing to me, these people. Like, you're like, it's proven. It's right there. I didn't have to say one thing in that movie. Everybody else, every single person that was speaking was referring to facts that can be verified.
Yeah, I only heard your voice one time in that movie.
oh, God, I was going to take that out because I don't like being in my own movie. Again,
I know. Right? I was going to ask you that in a documentary film. Like, they usually, whoever is directing the documentary, I don't do them. So but whoever's directing the documentary, sometimes you'll hear their questions. It's rare, yeah. or it's really important, right? Yeah. And I only heard yeah. you only had one question in that movie. Yeah.
Okay, technically there's two, but I think the one you're referring to is when I asked Jack Langer. So the Babylon Bee article came out, or the Fresno Bee article came out when? And he's like, the cocaine yachts prostitute piece? And I was like,
yep.
The only cocaine yachts prostitute thing I want to hear about is Fred Smoot. Let's be real, right?
Yeah. From the Minnesota Vikings, yeah. one of the best.
Or if anything leaks from DiCaprio and his crew.
How funny was the fact that they accused him of having anything to do with that? At the end of the movie, if I actually had like an insane budget, I wanted to rent a yacht, fly Cash, Jack Langer, and Devin Nunes to the yacht and film them on like a drone, like with like hookers and blow and like all this stuff, and like have like a hip hop ending, like with literally Devin Nunes like pouring champagne on a girl. Like,
oh, that would have been great. Are you kidding me? That would have been amazing.
I don't think he would have done it. He's no. actually very conservative. I don't think he would have done
you,
it.
If you need to do something like that, you could probably hire okay. Prestige you Worldwide, though, right?
Yeah, our co-host directed Dan Crenshaw's campaign video. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I was curious when I was watching it. Did you reach out to any of the CNN reporters? Because, look, they made a fucking living off of this for 3 years.
Yeah.
Did you reach out to them and said, hey, man, Jake Tapper, any of those guys, are you willing to get on camera and actually talk about this? Because I remember the Project Veritas thing with the Nothing Burger from Van Jones, yeah. that Russiagate yeah. was a Nothing Burger. Did you reach out to any of those guys?
Well, one thing we have, so again, we're going to put out the extended cut because the first cut of the movie was 4.5 hours long. And we'll put it out in a series so you can kind of dive into whatever section you're interested in, like whether it's like the Flynn background or the media stuff, whatever. In that section, one of the interviews we have is with the Project Veritas reporter who did that, got that moment. Because I was going to have Van Jones in it. We reached out to him. We couldn't get him. I was going to have all these people in it. I was going to have a lot more people that were kind of in the middle or had something to say from a different point of view. Like I wanted like Glenn Greenwald and Matt Taibbi, and Matt Taibbi was about to do it. He still might do an interview with us about the movie. But a lot of them just didn't respond. We didn't go after, to be honest with you, we didn't go after the journalists as hard because it was really more about the lawmakers and the, you know, we had what we called on our calendar Bad Guys Day, which is hilarious, but yeah. We did reach out to, you know, I'm not going to mention them each by name, but you can pretty much figure out who the main people we were talking about in the movie. Like obviously doing our journalistic due diligence to reach out to people.
Sure.
And I would have put them in it. I would have recorded the call or had them down for an interview. I would have flown to their house, whatever they want. Like I absolutely would have had them in it. But, you know, I I'm amazed there hasn't been a response from any of these people to the movie, because, you know, they know it exists.
Yeah, but I mean, it's staring at you right in the face. So as soon as you turn on Amazon, that movie is front and center. Dead serious. Like, because after our listeners hit us up over and over again, when I went to watch it with my wife that night, I turned it on. I was like, let me hit the search button. I was like, whoop, nope, no need for that. It's right there. It was on the homepage.
That's awesome. Yeah. Either it's listening to you and it's putting it up there, or it actually is really up there.
That's probably it. Like, they've got to be listening to me. And it works clearly. So
that's okay. As long as it's up there, as long as it's available, I'm good. I mean, yeah, the popularity of it is just out of control. Like I said, I had a plan. I thought that that's what we would do. You know, I didn't reserve a lot of the budget. I mean, you guys know you do movie stuff. Mm-hmm. I didn't do the advertising reserve. I didn't do promotional. We barely did theaters because, you know, I've talked to a lot of people that did put movies out this year, and nobody's recouping what they're making by putting out stuff. It's all, you know, so we put it out in a couple. It's still playing in a handful of theaters, which you can see on our website. I had this inclination that I was like, if this movie is actually good, if we actually do a really good job and give people the ability to look at the Russiagate hoax from the 30,000 foot view, which you kind of need to see the chess moves, right? Like, the reason I think it works, and that people who feel like they're bored of Russiagate and they've heard it all, actually love this movie, is because you have to take the step back to see all the moves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't, when you're in it, when you're like, oh, today this happened and then they declassified this and whatever, you don't see the maneuvers and the counter maneuvers by the different teams. But when you take that step back and you're like, here's the last 4 years, pushback, it's very clear what they did. And it's important to have that perspective, especially now, because they're doing the same thing with COVID. They're doing the same thing with the election.
It's like trying to retrace a game of telephone, I guess.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You're trying to figure out who said what, where, to influence what. Sometimes it's just misunderstandings. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes it's intentional. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's an intentional exploitation of the proclivity for people to misunderstand things.
Right.
So it's very interesting to go back and look through all that stuff.
It is. The other part about it too was, for me personally, like, you know, that story they kept up in the media for 3 years. Dan and I didn't buy it from the get go. Like, prostitutes pissing on a bed in Russia was the craziest thing of all time. And it just seems so far fetched. And then, you know,
How great is it in the movie when, when Devin like retells the part where he discovered that. So he is like such a conservative.
He seemed embarrassed by it.
Literally, like, he's describing it and he's like, and I opened that part of the testimony and I was like, whoa, who does, what is that? Couldn't be real. I mean, I've never heard of such a thing. And you're just like, oh my God, he's so precious. Like,
it was really funny because you could tell he was embarrassed by it. He was just like, oh, should I even be talking about this? And is this real? And how did this happen? But with that, like, the interesting part about the whole Russiagate thing, as soon as the impeachment trial was over, boom, that was it. I mean, you never heard one single second about it from the media. They were on to the next thing, which was COVID.
Well, literally week by week. So what they did is they killed Russiagate. And the next day started Ukraine and impeachment. So those are two separate hoaxes. They're somewhat entangled, but they're separate. And you never heard another word about Russian collusion until, you heard a little bit about it after the Ukraine thing, which people are like, oh, you should make the sequel about right now. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm in one of the parts of it. Like, I suppose I could. But the other thing is, you know, the next hoax was actually Ukrainegate. And I have a lot of friends that were heavily involved in that. And then literally, I remember this week, because I already knew I was going to make the movie. Ukrainegate had ended. They had announced that the Biden was going to be the other candidate. Mm-hmm. I was like, OK, we're running unopposed. This is great. Life was good. People were making money. The birds were singing. And I remember being in DC on my balcony smoking cigarettes. And I was like, things are pretty good. Like, this is crazy. Like, this is gonna be a good year. Like, I was like, I'm going to go make this movie. Everything's great. I go back into work because I was still working at State Department. I think I had not resigned yet. And and they're like, there's a disease in China and we're going to bring our embassy home and our consulate home and blah, 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 blah. And like all this stuff. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, now there's like a, a flu that I have to wear? Like, are you joking?
Well, you know, China's trying to blame it on Italy now. They're referring back to a study that happened in the latter parts of 2019 where I haven't looked into it enough, I guess, but it does seem like there's a test showing that some of the antibodies for the novel coronavirus were present in Italy a long time before the coronavirus became a thing.
Yeah, because it's the flu, and I'm convinced I had it in 2019. There's so many people that I'm sure I had it in 2019. I'm sure I had it 10 times over. I get sick a lot, but I just can't believe that they. I mean, it really scares me how many actually conservatives and supposedly free thinking people, and not just people on the right, but anybody is actually wandering the streets with masks on.
Yeah,
I mean it's crazy to me. And I refuse. I've actually been really lucky because I was, you know, on the road to make the movie. I was locked down for about 3 weeks because it was March, April. We were still raising money and getting everything in order and hiring people. I mean, we made that movie in less than 90 days, which is insane, by the way.
Like, oh, it's pure chaos. March. It's total chaos. Yeah. March 12th was when it kind of all shut down.
So I resigned end of March, started making the movie April, May, like whatever. I was actually able to kind of I was traveling because we were doing the movie. I was working. I hired people that otherwise would not have had jobs because it was out in, you know, they were in LA. They're all film industry people. And everything shut down. So I was able to get my top notch people out to Virginia. And I had this I felt like I had a dorm room of conservative filmmakers. It was total chaos, everybody living in the same house. It was nuts. But it was great. And so I've been lucky to have, I got to keep my life, right? I got to keep doing what I want to do. I can't imagine being one of these people who's been shut in for this entire time.
Same.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, podcasts were deemed essential, so we got lucky. And out of our media company, out of our media company, you know, we do about 125 shows a month out of here, so it was business as usual. We did have to make a group decision though, of hey, if one of us gets it, what do you want to do?
And our decision was that we were all just going to make out when that happened.
Yeah,
I think that's probably the best decision. That's
herd immunity, and that was it. Because I got it the second week of March, and you know. It is what it was. Everybody moved on. Everybody kept their jobs, and you know, we worked. Yeah. We just kept working, and I think people should have the option to do that. But you know,
because America, and I forgot that thing they beat into your head all the time, where you don't have anything if you don't have your freedoms, except if you get sick, and then you don't have freedoms, and you're like, no, that's not part of it. If I want to get sick and run through the streets in the middle of a snowstorm in wet clothes and get a cold, I am actually allowed to do that. And I can, you know what I mean? It's just completely insane. It's, and you know, I feel really bad for the, like I said, we went out, we haven't had a lot of time to do any, I haven't left this building and since the election pretty much. But we went out, walked, you know, we looked at some of the sites in Vegas and whatever the other night, and it's just dead. And these people, Vegas was already really hard hit by the housing crisis, the housing bubble, because it was one of the top places that everybody bought a summer house. It was really cheap property. They had a huge, when I was even working here in 2016, the economy was really hurting people.
Right.
And now they just got back, you know, they just got back into a swing of things under the Trump administration. And then look at this. It's just, I feel so bad for these people. And they're some of the best people I've ever met. I mean, the reason I really joined the administration and the thing that kept me going, not to sound like a politician or to sound like a dope, but it's actually true, is I would sit there and I'd think about what would these moms and dads and families that I did door knocking with or that came and got bumper stickers for their car at the campaign, what would they want me to do while I'm working here in this giant government and getting them to stop spending so much money on horrible shit? And I just feel so bad for these people. I love these people. I love my Trump people in Clark County. They're my favorite people on the planet. It breaks my heart. It really does. That's why I'm here. I'm pissed because I know that we won the election here and I want them to get, you know, I want their voices to be heard.
Well, hopefully what you guys are searching for will come out soon and there will be an answer.
We found it.
You know, we all want the answer and a finality to this. I think that's part of it as well. Now's the point in the show where we get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to?
You know what? I think it's appropriate for me to give it to Devin Nunes because the man loves his wine and he is you can't get through a conversation with him without him mentioning the new kind of wine he tried and like this, that, or the other. And the man's a hero. He stood up when nobody else would. And the thing that's really important about him is, you know, it's not like he was a MAGA guy exactly in the beginning. It's not like he was like, you know, Matt Gaetz is kind of known as like a Trump congressman, right? Like he kind of came in with that movement and he's our guy. We love Matt Gaetz. Obviously, Matt Gaetz is phenomenal. There's a lot more of him in the extended cut. But Devin Nunes was a fairly normal conservative. Like he was a fairly hawkish on foreign policy. He was a pretty normal establishment-ish conservative. He just didn't do the wrong thing. He just saw the real information and he actually had the wherewithal to know right from wrong and to say the truth. And everybody turned against him. And, you know, the guy is an absolute courageous hero. And I know he loves his various wines. The whole crew had dinner at his house when we were out in the district shooting the farm stuff and the stuff on family farm. And he can, at a certain point in the evening, the man is solely focused on the wine. It is the only topic of conversation, the wine and the tri-tip. Like that's all he wants to talk about.
Oh, is he from Northern California or something? Cause fuck up about tri-tip.
Yeah. That's it. No, he literally in the middle of a dinner, we were talking about like, you know, really interesting stuff because the guy's like, he's telling us how they uncovered all this stuff. And he's telling us about, you know, being a congressman and all this stuff that the whole crew, we've never heard, you know, that they've never heard. I worked in DC for a while. It was really entertaining. Then all of a sudden he just turns and he's like, you know what you got to do? You got to put this piece of the tri-tip on your fork and then put the wine. You got to eat it like this. And I'm like, okay. But it was very good. It was really good. And his wife is an amazing cook. And like, yeah, they're just a lovely, really, really awesome people. Really normal, awesome people.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, look, if you have not seen the movie, it is The Plot Against the Presidents. It is a great film. It is available for free on Amazon Prime. And tell the other outlets that they can find it and let the people know where they can find you on social media.
At our Twitter account, which is very, you should follow it because it's my only outlet and it's very snarky and gets up to no good. I'm sure, you know, it's being tracked by every intelligence agency on the planet, but it's at patpmovie.com. That's the handle is at patpmovie, which is Plot Against the President movie. That's also our website, which is www.patpmovie.com or plotagainstthepresidentmovie.com. They all go to the same place. And on the website, we have merch now, which is actually really cool. We have 4 posters that are actually very tasteful and beautiful and don't make your room look like a dorm room.
Look, anytime anybody refers to a piece of media as tasteful, usually there's nudity, right?
Yeah.
So what are we talking about here?
It's tasteful nudity.
It's the president. It's just the president. No, it's just got beautiful photos. It's very well done. It looks like a James Bond poster. It's cool. It's not boomer. It's cool. So it's great. And then we also have all this, I don't know why, but we have like a lot of other merch, like in addition to like t-shirts, we have like hats and like the funniest thing that we have, which I think I kept just because I saw the mock-up for it. And I was like, that's so outrageously ridiculous. We have to do it, which is there's Plot Against the President joggers, which I'm like, why do we have that? But they're so silly and it's actually everyone loves them. So anyway, so we got merch now and the DVDs are going to be coming out available on our website and probably on Amazon if they don't screw us. DVDs are going to be great for the holidays. I didn't even know that DVDs were still a thing. And so I was told that actually Dinesh and these other sort of larger mainstream conservative filmmakers, they actually make all their money on DVD distro.
When we did Range 15, it was the same way. I wrote and directed this movie called Range 15, which is how we all met. Veteran, conservative, all that stuff. And the DVDs to this day still sell over and over again. And it's mostly because people want to support.
They want to keep it. They're worried because you know what? They get this feeling that if it's digital and it's streaming, it'll be gone at some point because it'll be censored or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if you have it, you really have it. And that's true. And so we will have DVDs ready for the holidays shortly. And Vimeo on demand, Amazon on demand. It's about to be available on a ton of other platforms too, like iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, Premiere, a ton of cable channels. It's still playing in theaters. And yeah, it's everywhere. Go see it. Leave a review. If you like it, leave a review, because the bad bots found us when the president tweeted it, and we have to counteract the bad bots. But we're still super high rated, and it's crazy reviews. It's
they great. Can't stop everybody.
Well, the good news on it, at least on Amazon, you can tell whether or not the person actually interacted with the video if they left a review.
Easily.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. You can read the reviews. It's the people that actually saw it write these beautiful essays about America. And then the people that didn't see it are like, this is propaganda and lies.
Well, I mean, so for Amazon products on their website, if you look down at the reviews on their products, you can tell, like, it'll say verified customer, which means that person literally bought that product. I don't understand why they can't do that for people leaving book and movie reviews.
So they're a little bit better than IMDb. Like IMDb, absolutely. First of all, the only people that follow IMDb or know what it is work in Hollywood in some way, because absolutely no one else gives a shit about that website. Yeah. So like the fact that there, it's super dumb. I don't even know what the rating is there. I won't even look at it because I hate that website. They're just awful. But the Amazon is supposed to be a little bit more accurate, because they're supposed to require you to have at least bought the movie. But because it's free on Amazon Prime, sometimes they just click on it or whatever. But you know, I mean, they can click it all they want. I still get paid. So
that's awesome. Amanda Milius, you were fucking unbelievably entertaining. Hey, this was the fastest fucking hour there is. Yeah,
for having me on. This is awesome.
I'm so actually glad. Looking into the reviews of your movie right now on Amazon, as a matter of fact. And the good thing
what's the number at?
You can sort them by review. So they're all either 5 or 1.
Yeah. Right? There's no middle in that.
No surprise there. Pretty much most of the ones, I would say about 90% of the ones I'm seeing are not verified purchases.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
What's the total number of reviews right now?
It's like 12,438.
Holy shit, are you kidding me?
Do you know how many reviews? Tell me how many Trump card has.
Trump card? Is that Dinesh D'Souza's?
Yeah. I'm just curious for the comparing the budget.
Stand by.
I'm glad he does his thing. I just, you know, I don't have a $3 million ad budget.
Trump card has 3,200.
Yeah. Yeah, not even close. Yeah. And that's the thing about Amazon. It is hard to get reviews. People don't understand. Like, shit, we're lucky to get 100 for a book. Yes.
Yeah.
We're lucky to get 100 for a bestseller, for Christ's sake. So
the top big deal. The top. So they sort these on Amazon by positive and critical reviews.
Mm-hmm.
The top positive review is a verified purchaser, and talks about how they weren't really a Trump fan, but this stuff is fucked up. Blah blah blah. The top critical review just says should be labeled as fiction. And then they clearly have not seen it.
They have not seen the film, right?
No. How dumb is that? Where there's so many people that they're like, this should be labeled a comedy or fiction because it's fake. And you're like, tell me how it's fake. Tell me one thing in the movie that isn't real. You're like, it's real people telling the story of what happened to them. That's the thing. I actually argued with folks about this, because I was like, look, it's not an advocacy movie. It's not. Like, as much as I love advocacy movies, I would make one. I'd make a Second Amendment movie in a day. Like, I'm a super, like, if I was going to pick my political issue, I pick immigration, Second Amendment, and foreign policy, right? Like, those are my big things. It's not an advocacy movie. It's not like, this is what will happen if the Second Amendment is taken away from you. Like, it's a movie. I don't have a point of view in it. I am asking the guys that were in the hearing telling me what happened. Mm. That's it. Like, that's the movie. It's so ridiculous. They're like, oh, it's fake. You're like, what is fake? Tell me one thing that's fake.
It's pretty straightforward. It's a pretty straightforward film. And again, it's not like the other guy's movie where it's just, you know, some shadowy stuff.
Did you see the Comey rule? I couldn't get through the whole thing.
Oh. But
$1 gazillion Showtime doc where they had those extremely strange actors playing the different people.
You know how pissed off Comey was that he got played by a fat Jeff Daniels, I bet. Like, I'm sure he was
I don't know how they haven't been sued to all hell. I mean, it was like the most incorrect. That movie was, no one liked that movie. And of course, you know what's crazy? Twitter did, they let them have ad buys. Facebook let them promote. Whatever, we have not yet been allowed to advertise the movie. And again, we don't have a huge advertising budget, but we were going to do some social ads. Like, of course, like we've got, you know, a lot of really big influencers in the movie. they wouldn't let us do any ads, not one social ad for the movie, because it was close to the election. And they were like, oh, this could impact the election. And you're like, well, yeah, so could Showtime's the Comey rule. But that
or
was
everything on or, Showtime or, is a left documentary.
Or James Comey posting a picture of himself the morning of the election on Twitter wearing Biden a goddamn shirt. Biden shirt.
Yeah, a Biden shirt and then the cup of Joe that he had. Yeah. But the Comey rule. When he goes down in the kitchen and he's talking to his family and the daughter's crying and the wife is crying.
You gotta
Jim,
do something.
Jim, please don't do this. Jim. And it's just like...
You just have so much integrity. I can't deal with it.
Seriously. But speaking of, I really enjoyed that part of it. Hearing about Comey being mad that fat Jeff Daniels played him, because it reminded me of John Goodman playing the Babe back in the day.
Yeah.
John Goodman, 6'3", he's a tall guy, but during that movie, he weighed about 320 pounds, 320. Babe Ruth, to people, for some reason, people think Babe Ruth was some fat guy. He was 6'2", 215.
Right.
He's not fat, but he drank and fucking smoked cigars and banged whores and did drugs all the time, but he was in shape.
When John Goodman has to lose weight to play Babe Ruth, you know you've got problems.
Well, he could play it now, Righteous Gemstones level John Goodman. He's slimmed down quite a bit.
He has. Yeah. He has.
John Goodman did a pretty accurate job of playing. I mean, he wasn't playing my dad, but it was the Big Lebowski thing where he was playing the Coen brothers version of my dad.
Yeah, yeah.
It was actually for years, my brothers and I were like, nobody knew that was on purpose because there's no one talks about anything in our family. So my brothers and I were like, God, how funny is it? We loved watching that movie because we'd be like, this is so crazy. This is just like dad. And like, we've never seen anything like this. And then like years later, my brother, Ethan, who's a DA, discovered that this was the case because he was Googling himself for something. He was like doing a trial or something. And he Googled Ethan Milius. And it came, this article came up that said Joel and Ethan Coen based the Big Lebowski Walter off of John Milius. That's how we figured it out.
Well, now I kind of want to, I want to do whatever we can do to get your dad to move here and just hang out with us every day.
I know.
Because I want to hang out with Walter.
Chair right in the middle. You could just put him right where that elephant is. And
bring him here. We'll go. Alex Jones' studio is about 5 minutes down the street from
us. Oh, you guys are in Austin too?
Yeah. So when I hit you back up, I saw your name on the conference board in the conference room as the guest. You were two before us.
Yeah.
So we just missed night, the night after the election. Yeah. We went I think our slot was at 8 o'clock that night. I think we went on an 8 with Alex. And you were on at like 3 o'clock or something like that. But I saw your name and I was like, shit, I got to reach back out to her. I want her to get her on the show. Yeah.
No, and I think I missed your first note because it was probably on the Plot Against the President Instagram, which I don't read and manage as much as my own. But then I do manage Twitter. I mean, everybody kind of manages the Twitter. It's like a free for all. I wish I'd known you guys were, I would totally have come in because I was in Austin, right? Yeah. It was the day after the election. That's how I ended up going to Phoenix. And like, I have actually this off footage of the Phoenix rally. Cause I was walking in behind Alex. I was walking in with her team and, they're already, the crowd is already chanting, not knowing he's going to be there. The crowd is already chanting 1776. And he gets out and he has his bullhorn and he puts it up. And the moment they hear his voice and he's like, the answer to 1984 is 1776. And I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. The people went completely insane. Ballistic. It was like, Cernovich was saying it too. He was like, it was like the Beatles had come in. And it's true because people haven't seen him until he started doing these rallies again. Like people haven't seen him outside of the show, like super publicly.
It's the Shy Cons, Amanda. Well, I think you need to understand what's going on in Vegas and Clark County.
But he's a gentleman.
Alex has become, for better or worse, essentially a bottle of water in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a lot of people are still seeing it from kind of far away and they're not sure if it's real yet or not.
Yeah.
I think that Joe Rogan interview where Rogan fact checked him and proved everything he said was true over the course of 2.5 hours was very helpful for that. I don't know how many people on the left are receptive, obviously, but
these people on the right aren't receptive. There's like, you know, a lot of folks that I'm very good friends with would be really upset if they found out that I went on, you know, the unusual shows. But like, that's where I come from. I come from the weird parts of the internet. That's how I got into politics. Like, you know, I love that stuff. But But yeah, no, he's amazing. The main meme of 2020 was like, 2020 is the year we found out Alex Jones was right about everything.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Look, we won't keep you. We know you got to get out and stop the stop vote the here. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let us know. You're welcome to come back on the show anytime. And we'll text you Joe's information later on. And again, I know I put this in my message to you, but your father was one of the reasons that I got into making movies. In particular, obviously, he wrote one of my all-time faves, which was Apocalypse Now. And one of the very best to ever do it, in my opinion. It is very, very cool to see you following in his footsteps. Thank you for being here today, Amanda. Please go check out The Plot Against the President on Amazon Prime or wherever else you may find it in this world. For D'Anthony Holloway, I am Ross Patterson. We are the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone.